Again, our text this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be put on the lists only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation, because they have set aside their previous pledge. And at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, let her assist them. And let not the church be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also may be fearful of sinning. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily, and thus share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. For others, their sins follow after. Likewise also, deeds that are good are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be concealed. Once again, 1 Timothy 5:21. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. Last week, we dealt with some of the specific charges that have been laid upon the men and women of God through the effective work of the Holy Spirit. We are in the process of seeing that we are dealing with God Almighty, the sovereign Lord and Creator of all things. He is the only living God and the very being of love and life. He is the one who has opened his heart to us through his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has made us alive together in him. Therefore, he is to be humbly respected and highly honored and approached with all contriteness and thanksgiving. Bearing in mind this reality, When we are given a charge within His Word, we need to dwell upon it in reverence and in obedience. This is the very least that our hearts should be unto the Lord God Almighty. This morning, we will reflect on several more aspects of the charges that are laid before us in God's Word. The first is seen as the Apostle Paul dealt with Timothy and with the leaders of the church at Ephesus. The second is held in those charges that were given by the Lord Jesus to His disciples. Please realize that these charges are very much for our acceptance as well, since they are recorded and delivered through His living Word by the direction of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 20, 28 through 32, Paul writes the following to the Ephesians. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is an awful charge in the sense that there is a great duty within the church to be on guard and to protect all the members of the congregation. There are wolves who will try to devour the spiritually sick and to attack the young members of the flock. There is a watchguard that is needed, an alertness within the entire body to be built up in the Lord, strong and powerful to stand against the vicious attacks of this age. The key to this is given in the fact that Paul commends them and us to God and to the word of His grace. We need to have God build us up in and upon His word of grace. Our spiritual strength to withstand and to protect the ranks of our fellowship is not something that is in our grasp or our ability, but it is solely in the hand of God. We must focus our hearts upon Him. We must learn to rely absolutely and completely upon His grace and His guidance and His love and His word of protection. He is our complete defense if we will but keep our hearts guarded unto Him. His word is our impregnable bulwark against all the attacks of this age. This means that we need to find our instruction for life, for growth, for spiritual maturity in His Word. We need to read, and we need to study, and we need to cherish it. It needs to be taught and needs to be treasured in every heart, from the youngest to the eldest. Even those babies developing in the womb need to be prayed over and held constantly before the throne of God's grace. Every one of us needs to have our hearts and minds and beings infused with the desire to know Him in His Word ever more greatly and dearly on a daily basis, every moment of the day. We need to so value His Word that we desire to learn it, to seek His guidance in it, to face every obstacle. Our young family should find that they are being encouraged and pointed to His Word as each of the children grows up into the fellowship of believers. Our young married couples should find their counsel for facing the challenges of becoming one in Christ set and expounded in the grace of God's Word. Our every encouragement must be based on God's Word through the guidance of the Holy Spirit rather than man's limited and meager understanding and theories. In line with this, we need to recognize that God's grace is more than sufficient to meet every need. We do not fear the threats and the nightmares of our society because we know that God's grace is covering us all the days of our lives. We need to focus on that fact. Because He loves us, and we love Him, we are made part of a spiritual, kingly, and personal relationship. This living relationship in Jesus Christ will provide us with all that is necessary to meet every challenge as we seek and obey Him in every circumstance. He is all grace. Come to know Him in that truth. He is omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient to our every situation of trial and testing. He is there with us to be our supply through it. Additionally, as we face each dilemma, each trial, and each circumstance in prayer and confidence in Christ, we will see His grace in action. Not just knowing it, but seeing Him work His way. As we cover one another with love before the throne of God's grace, all the powers of this age will be revealed as but clawless and toothless adversaries before the Lord God Almighty. Not before us, before Him. If we seek after God to have His way, and if we honor His guidance, and we give Him the honor and the glory that it should be manifested in the single heart of His church, we will see Him in action. The manner in which we fulfill the charge of the Apostle Paul is to be on guard against all the adversaries' minions is as we give ourselves completely to God. That is how we respond to this charge, to guard one another. It is as we live in absolute and unfailing reliance upon Him to guard that which we have committed unto Him until that day. We trust Him alone. Period. As we are seeing, that is what the Apostle Paul emphasizes to Timothy, as well as to us in his pastoral letters. 2 Timothy 1:12-14. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. We need to cherish the gift of life that we have been given in Jesus Christ. That living relationship with Him for all of eternity is a priceless and incomparable treasure. We are truly blessed in all the wealth of God's storehouse of abundance as we value our Lord Jesus Christ above everything. In that light, we do need to be on guard. We need to be on guard against the greatest threat, ourselves. If we do not guard in our hearts all that we have received in Jesus Christ by the grace of God, we allow it to be diminished. We will lose its glory. It's as we seek after our own interests and our self-desires that His glory fades and diminishes within us. It becomes a matter that we start looking to God only as a safety net on this earth, rather than as our Lord and our King and our brother. Sadly, that is the way many Christians regard their relationship with the Lord. They see Him only as the one who will bail them out if they make too much of a mess of their lives. They lose the full glory of the relationship that is ours in Jesus Christ. We need to guard our personal relationship with Christ, just as we guard all of our personal relationships with our earthly loved ones. Don't take God's love and God's grace and God's salvation for granted. Cherish it. Nurture it. Be utterly sustained by Him every moment of the day. Seek Him with all our hearts. As Paul also writes in 1 Timothy 6:20 and 21, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. Grace be with you. What an awesome consideration. Grace be with you. As we do guard that which has been entrusted to us, as our hearts accept the charge to hold the treasure of Jesus Christ as our everything, as we desire to know Him to greater and deeper measures, as we read His Word, as we pray, as we value the guidance and the work of the Holy Spirit, and as we obey, we learn beyond any shadow of doubt that God's grace is with us. It is His grace that opens our hearts to all the fullness of what it means to be the body and the bride of Jesus Christ. That should develop within us the earnest desire to respond with all our hearts to the charge of the Apostle Paul given in 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Our ministry is to be the living testimony of our victorious, resurrected, and eternally living Lord of all creation, Jesus Christ. We minister as He lives forth from our lives to bring light and life into this blind and devastated world. We need to live the truth of the Word of God, Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, and glorified. No matter what arguments, disinterest, or threats are aimed at us. This world is getting ever more set in its utter opposition to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is abusing, heckling, ridiculing, jeering, smearing, discrediting, and just plain ignoring anything other than what suits its own purposes and glory. There is an increasing disregard and disdain for the holiness of God. The things of God are being treated with unceasing irreverence and mockery in this world. Regardless of this intensified animosity, we must, just as the Holy Spirit guides and directs, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The Lord declared this to His disciples in Matthew 10, 7 through 10. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two tunics, or sandals, or a staff. For the worker is worthy of his support. We are called to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and to not permit ourselves to become entangled with the things of this earth that revolve around us and our ease and our comfort. As the worker is worthy of his support, so are we to work with wholeheartedness unto the Lord, becoming those worthy laborers in His field, in His vineyard. All our cares and concerns are to be cast aside, and the emphasis of our life set in that which will please God alone in our lives. His pleasure, not our own. Later, in Matthew 10, 16 through 22, Jesus continues this charge with its emphasis on the fact that we are not to be surprised at the treatment we receive in this world. The animosity and the hatred of this world should rather become all the more targeted at us as His witnesses of truth. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all on account of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. The charge laid upon us is twofold. First, we are to be on guard for the sake of the flock and for the sake of our very own hearts as to the sovereignty and the glory of God on this earth. We are put into the midst of a perverse generation because of the fact that it is this very generation that is in such desperate need for the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to be earnestly faithful in our endeavors as unto the Lord, with no thought of earthly gain or reward. We rely on the fact that God will supply our every need. Live in the assurance that God does have all things well in hand. We are absolutely and unwaveringly covered in the grace of God's love, just as we are covered in the righteousness and the holiness and the salvation of Jesus Christ. We have nothing to fear in this realm. There is nothing to fear in this realm. Live forth the testimony of the Lordship of Jesus Christ with clarity of purpose, no matter what is involved. As well, we are again charged by the Lord in Mark 16:15, proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to the entire world. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Our very life is the living witness of his grace and love and mercy, not in theory, but in reality and in action. We declare the good news of Jesus Christ because we live in his lordship. He reigns over every area and aspect of our lives. In every dealing with this world, it is unto him that we function. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in our homes, in our businesses, in our time of relaxation, in our every relationship on this earth. That is the charge that is given to us by our Lord and Savior. Live forth in his name unto his glory alone. Next week, Lord willing, we will delve into the specific warning that is set before us in our current text. We are charged to not practice any partiality in our living forth from the power and the grace and the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Just as we do not expect any favors from this world, so are we to live our lives without showing any favoritism within the church. This is an utterly divisive and destructive attribute that is not at all in line with God's word or with God's very nature. We must live fully and faithfully in line with our new nature that now indwells us in Jesus Christ. So be it. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of His chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. Amen.